And he said, that is, Jesus said also unto his disciples, there was a certain rich man which had a steward, and the same was accused unto him that he had wasted his goods. There's some key words in this verse that make the rest of the passage make sense to us. Steward is what? Okay, good. Someone that keeps someone else's property. Sometimes people would look at that word and say, oh, it's a servant. Well, no, it's not necessarily just a servant. A steward is someone who keeps property for someone else. We would use the word today, a manager. Just because you own a restaurant, you can't, a franchise or a chain, you can't be in all of those at all the same time. So you may own the whole thing, but you have a manager that is in each one of those restaurants to make sure things move smoothly. The word accused, pretty simple word. What does that mean? He was blamed. Somebody said, he did it. He messed up. So the rich man has a manager of his things that news comes to the rich man, that guy over there that's supposed to be taking care of all your goods, he's not doing a very good job. And not just not a good job. The Bible says here, accused unto him, unto the rich man, that he, the manager, had wasted his goods. What does it mean to waste? Just basically to make useful for trash. It means to misuse. It means to squander. It could have been beneficial, but it wasn't. Now, I'll just give you a little illustration of this. I think you'll understand. If I were to give Kaylin, it's my daughter, if I were to give her $20 and say, Mommy wants to make some valances for the window dressings in the house, and you need to take this $20 and you need to go buy the fabric that Mom is going to use to sew those valances. And on your way there or on your way back, there is enough in this for you, this $20, for you to buy a pack of gum. Okay, you can have that while you're going and coming, whatever it is, doesn't matter. But you need to make sure you get the fabric Mommy needs. It's a thick fabric. It will help keep the light out. It won't fade so fast. It won't deteriorate so fast. But that's what Mommy needs. So on the way, Kaylin decides, you know what, I'd like to chew some there and maybe throw it out if the flavor doesn't last, and chew another piece coming back. So I'm going to stop at the store on the way. And when she goes in, Alex has already been there this week, and he has stopped right there at the front of the store. There is a juice sale. I mean, he has put so much juice there, and she's looking at it and saying, that end cap has just caught her attention. And now not only does she want gum, she wants juice. And she says to herself, you know what? $20 for fabric? Surely. I mean, these things aren't even the long curtains. These aren't the ones that go all the way to the floor. These are just the little ones that hang at the top. So she decides she's going to get the $2 drink, the $1 pack of gum. How much does she have left? $17. Great. So she leaves there. She's got her drink. She is happy. She drinks that on the way. She then gets out a piece of gum when she gets to the store to make sure her breath is fresh. Goes into the store. Asks them for the fabric. And the amount of fabric that she was told to get, of the kind that she was to get, cost $18.75. It's $1.75 short now. So Kaylin can't do with the money what she was supposed to do with the money, can she? She can either get less fabric than she's supposed to and get the right kind of fabric. She can go home without fabric and say, Daddy, I need some more money. That would probably be a scary one. She can get a cheaper fabric and go home with enough fabric, but with one that won't quite meet the need. So Kaylin decides she's going to get the cheaper fabric because it looks just like the other one. So she gets the cheaper fabric, and when she does, she ends up leaving the store with $5 extra because the fabric was cheap. So on the way home, Kaylin has been out all day now doing this and fretting over this. And you know, when you get bothered over something, sometimes people get a little hungry. So she got enough with $5 for a lunch at McDonald's. So she got her juice on the way, she got her gum, and on the way home, she's got fabric now, and she got money left, so she gets a $5 lunch at McDonald's. Let me ask the question. Did Kaylin manage the money well? Now, if you were to ask Kaylin, she might say she did. The only way that you know that she didn't manage it well is if you know the intent of the owner of that money. You see, because Caleb might say, look, it was hot. I was thirsty. If I didn't have a drink, oh. You know, she fainted or something. So it was a good use of money. I mean, it was a juice. She didn't get soda. She got something that was maybe even 100% juice. She got it, and you know what? She was hungry on the way home. She might say, I didn't waste it because food and drink are necessary for life. How do I know that she wasted? Because I know what I told her to do with that money. That money had a specific purpose for which it was to accomplish. It was wasted when you consider my intent, the specific fabric that was supposed to be used for the job. Now, let's get something straight at the beginning as we look into the text, what God is going to be dealing with. Every earthly resource that you have can be used for God or can be wasted on you. Every earthly resource that you have access to can be used for you, which would be wasted, or can be used for God. You say, preacher, is it wasting to buy groceries? When you know what God wants to be done with your resources, then you know how to put them into practice. Let's take money, for instance. We'll take $100. All right, what is the first thing when you earn $100, what's the first thing that should be done? All right, so we give God the first, right? Sum off the top right away. I don't even have $100. When I see 100, I automatically see 90. That's God's. So what do we do with the rest of it? Well, guess what? The rest of it is God's too. All right, so what's the next thing that I think of as a father and a husband? What's the next thing I've got to think about? I got to take care of my family, because the Bible says if a man does not take care of his own, he is worse than an infidel, worse than a lost man living in awful sin. That is the kind of man that doesn't take care of his own family. So you say, well, then what does that include? So I've given to God. Now I've got to save some money for expenses that are going to pop up, like a kid that needs to go to the hospital or something. I've got to spend some money on food. I've got to spend some money on clothes. I've got to spend some money on a place that my family can live. I've got to do something to provide for my family. But now I've provided for my family. I've given to God. What else am I supposed to do? What does God tell me? Give. You say, I already gave. Shouldn't the church take care of all that? Well, no. Actually, the church can, but the Bible says each of us that works then is supposed to work and save some, that I have the ability. If Phyllis all of a sudden she needs a car and doesn't have the money to buy one, I can say, oh, Phyllis, let me help you with it. I can't buy it for her. But if she needed transportation, then I would do something to try to help. That if somebody in the church were sick and couldn't afford the treatment that they needed, I could at least help. I could at least show some compassion because I have tried to save or to put away a little bit. But you see, when I've just given to God first, and then I say, well, the 90% that's left, or $90 that's left is mine, I act like God doesn't care about the rest of my money. How can time be wasted? Is time a resource? Sure it is. Time is a resource. Every one of us gets how many hours a day? 24. Nobody gets any more. Nobody gets any less. All right, it's a resource handed to us. How can you waste that 24 hours? Okay, you can sit down and in a very short amount of time, it seems, an hour or two or three can slip by with any type of media that there is. It doesn't matter if it's a television or an internet or a CD or MP3. I mean, it really doesn't matter what it is. It can slip past you very quickly. Now, can entertainment of any sort or media of any sort be useful in the kingdom of God? Certainly it could. Now, you could go home and you could have a Practice God video on soul winning. And you sit down for an hour, and you go over with somebody on that video how to lead somebody to Christ. Have you wasted your time? No. But if I go home and I find a video to pop in, and the people aren't dressed appropriately, the people don't talk appropriately, and I'm just there, and I'm just laughing, and I have a great time, but I don't think at all about what God cares, guess what has happened to the time He gave me? squandered it, I wasted it, I misused it. Do you know why? Because God gives each of us time every day to be used for His purpose. And the only way to know whether you have used it wisely or wasted it is if you know what God desires for your time. What about our health? Is that a resource we have? Yeah, it is. But can we waste our health? You can waste your health by not exercising. You can waste your health by not taking care to eat properly. You can waste your health by not getting rest. You can waste your health by worrying. You can waste your health by being angry. Because all of those things are going to play havoc on your body. And you say, well, I want to serve God, but I can't because my body's falling apart, but I'm not even taking thought for all these things that God says. It all belongs to Him, and I'm wasting my health.
Luke 16:1. The Bible says again, and He said unto His disciples, there was a certain rich man, let's consider God here, which had a steward, a manager, let's consider man. And the same, that man, was accused unto him that he had wasted his goods. You know what the Bible calls the devil when we use this word accused? He's the accuser of the brethren. That is, he goes before God and says, hey, you see that man over there? You gave him talents and he's not using them for you. You see that woman over there? She's got time on her hands and she won't open her mouth for you. You see that child over there? And he goes to God and said, look, they say they're yours, but they don't live like it. They don't give you what's yours, God. Everything you're putting in their hands, they are wasting it. Would Kaylin really like it if she got home and she had gone out to get the fabric and Daniel had gone with her? Because, you know, I don't like to let my children just go off by themselves. I like them to have some accountability. So she walks in the house and she lays the fabric and she is smiling, you know. She lays that fabric on the counter, nice and neat, no change. And she starts to walk down the hall to her room. There's Daniel. She didn't buy what she told her to. How would you like that? Now, Mommy doesn't even have to guess now whether or not it's the right fabric. Because someone is saying, you didn't do right. And guess what? We have somebody doing that. You don't even see that somebody doing that. Kayla and I were talking yesterday, and we were talking about the spiritual battles that take place around us that we never see. There is a battle for your heart. There is a battle for your time. There is a battle for your talent. There is a battle for your mind and heart and soul. Could you be accused of wasting what is God's? Could you look at your life, look at the last week, you say, preacher, don't ask me about last week. I was here every night. Just because you were here every night doesn't mean you didn't waste the other hours. Just because you were here every night doesn't mean you didn't waste those hours. Can you waste time in church? Amen. Oh yeah, good sermon, preacher. What about you hear the message, you nod your head, you shake the hand, I'm like, ah, preacher, you really got to my heart this morning. I have to go, and then, what got to your heart?
Don't remember.
Could we waste the time? Could you waste the truth that you hear? How do you waste truth that you hear? You don't do anything with it. You just let it go. In the text, the Bible says a manager is accused of wasting. That is, he did not manage well. Now, what does it mean to not manage well? Can a place like McDonald's make money? Can a McDonald's or Burger King or restaurant, can they make money? Is that possible? They have to. Do people like to eat at restaurants? If you drive down any road in any town and you want to see people, you know what you look for? A restaurant sign. Because you know what? It doesn't matter how good or bad the economy is, there are always people eating out. So if they're not making money, what's the problem? Listen, I can go anywhere and ask young people, do they like to eat a hamburger out? And they'll say yes. I've not yet found a young person that I couldn't name one fast food restaurant that they wanted to go to. And most children will eat a hamburger at McDonald's, even if they don't like the onions. Just ask for it without the onions. So if people like to eat at those places and they have food that is, well, Barry Webb said it may not even be food, but if they have things to eat that people want to eat, what's the problem if they don't make money? It's poor management. Have you ever been to a restaurant that was poorly managed? Where things weren't the way they ought to be? That servers weren't trained to serve the way they should be? Being a manager requires using one thing that is valuable to make something else that is more valuable. That is, a manager is going to go out, he's going to buy certain amounts of food. And he's going to get those foods and he's going to prepare them and then he's going to serve them in such a way that they can take the $5 that they spent on buying food and they're going to make it and prepare it and they're going to sell it for more profit. Okay? That's what a manager is going to do. He's going to take what he has, he's going to use it, and it's going to benefit the master, the owner. Now think about it. How does a steward get paid? How does a manager get paid? As soon as the steward uses his master's goods wisely, there is a profit. And the man who owns it all, the rich man in the story, can then look at his steward and say, here is your salary from what I have gained from what you have done. So why does it matter if his salary comes out of the profit? Why does it matter how a steward or a manager uses what he is given? Number one, because a steward or manager is not necessarily the owner, so all the things in the store don't belong to him. Let's suppose a manager of Pizza Hut makes the company money. Right, so we got a Pizza Hut just down the street. The manager is making the company a significant amount of money, so the owner of the company says, let's give him a good salary. But let's suppose after he begins getting this good salary, the manager says, you know what, I really like the salads here. And so when the fresh salad comes in on the truck, he just sits down and begins to eat. And after he gets off work, and we can't eat it all, he takes some of it home. And while he's at work and he's eating his salad, he's busy on the phone but not taking orders. He's just calling friends and making personal contacts. And because of his time eating and because of his time on the telephone, he can't keep the buffet stocked. So that, guess what happens? Pretty soon, the profits begin to drop, the customers begin to stop, and that man is going to lose his job. Why is he going to lose his job? Because there's no more profit to the owner, so the owner, without that profit, cannot continue to pay his manager, his salaried manager. He must do everything to make the company succeed in order for himself to have a future salary. Then look at verse number 2. And he called him, that is, the rich man, called the manager, and said unto him, how is it that I hear this of thee? Give an account of thy stewardship, for thou mayest be no longer steward. The rich man heard of the problem, and he wanted an accounting. What's an accounting? That's the grown-up way of saying show and tell. That is, you've been working for me for quite a while. Now, I want you to bring me the spreadsheet. I want you to bring me the accounting book. I want you to bring me the log of everything that I gave you, what you did with it, and what profit it produced. That's what I want. Because you may no longer be my manager. You have, if what I have just heard of you, that you're wasting what I gave you, is true, I'm not going to let you have control of my stuff anymore. Who are we talking about in this story, by the way? Who's the rich man? All right, so God is looking down and he's saying, listen, if it's true that you're not using what I gave you for my kingdom, guess what? I'm taking it back. You cannot be my manager if you don't manage it for me. How many of us have some things we like?
Take it for me.
Listen, we've all got some stuff we like, and we like it because it does something for us. Don't you know?
How many of you like your refrigerator? Anybody like your television? Anybody like your radio? Anybody like your car? Anybody like your clothes? Anybody like, you know, let's just start thinking about what we got going on in our life. And then if we buy it, why do we have it? Because God gave it to us. If God gave it to us, what purpose does it have? It can't be my purpose. Because my purpose would be wasting. See, because it's not mine. God gave it to me as a manager. So I've got a van. Why do I have a van? I've got to take care of my family. I need to get places to get the things that they need. But maybe I also have a van to reach people for Christ. I have a refrigerator because, well, you know what? If I didn't have that, I wouldn't get to eat stuff that really tastes good. That's not why you have a refrigerator. You have a refrigerator because you take care of your food so that you can take care of your body. But is it just for you? Is that the only reason we've got it? What does he want done with the food in your refrigerator? Well, I think the neighborhood cats, preacher. Listen, you don't feed animals. What are you doing with people? I mean, I'm supposed to love people with the food in my refrigerator? You could try. You could try.
The Bible says that the rich man looks at a steward and says, tell me what you've done. Give me a show and tell. Give me an account of thy stewardship, for thou mayest be no longer steward. Based on the accusation that I hear, that manager could lose his job unless he could prove that the accusations were false. All he has to do is prove that all that was said about him was wrong. All he has to do is go home, get the lecture book, and say, look, I did what you asked. Here it is. How easy would that be for you and for me? If God said, give me the record of the last month of your life. Tell me what you did with your hours. Tell me what you did with your thoughts. Tell me what you did as you listened to music. Tell me what you did as you watched your TV. Tell me what you did as you went out to eat. Tell me what you did as you went shopping. Tell me what you did as you spoke to your friends and neighbors. Tell me what you did with your time. What would God say then? Preacher, God won't do that. He won't? Didn't we see just this last week that there is a judgment coming for believers? What do you think that judgment has to do with? What I did with all these things that he's left in my hand. Now notice, when his job is on the line and all he has to do is prove that he is innocent, look what he does. Verse number 3. Then the steward said within himself, what shall I do? For my Lord taketh away from me the stewardship. I cannot dig. That means I'm not used to manual labor. To beg, I am ashamed. I don't want to go begging for food and for clothes and for stuff. I'm resolved what to do. That when I am put out, why does he say when I am put out? He knows he is fired. He's guilty. Put out of the stewardship. When I can't manage the rich man's goods anymore and get a salary from him, they, the people who are outside, may receive me into their houses. What does he do? He begins to plan for his future. He's in big trouble. And he knows if he doesn't do something quick, he is out on his backside all by himself with nothing. So, this is what he decides to do. He called, verse 5, every one of his Lord's debtors unto him, and said unto the first, how much owest thou unto my Lord? And he said, 100 measures of oil. Now, why does he owe him oil? Okay, this is a rich man, so he owns probably a lot of land. And what would often happen is this. If a man had land and he couldn't use it all for himself, what do we do today? We lease it out to somebody else. And that somebody makes profit. And we get, in the lease, payment back in money. Well, they didn't pay back in money all the time then. So a man would come up and say, hey, could I use 50 acres of your land? I want to grow some olives. He says, sure, you grow olives, and when you get your olives crop, I get so many measures, so many quarts, so many gallons of oil, the rest is for to sell. That's how you'll pay me. And another man might say, can I have 100 acres? I want to plant some wheat. He says, yes, based on 100 acres and what you're going to grow, you give me so much of that at
at the end, that is your payment to me. So the steward, the manager, is looking. He's saying, I've got to find a way that when I'm fired, I have a place to go. So he calls in the men that owe the rich man grain or oil. And he asks them, how much do you owe? And he said, 100 measures of oil. And he said unto him, take thy bill and sit down quickly and write 50. What's he saying? I'm going to give you a half off sale if you'll do it right now. Now, the manager has not done a good job with the rich man's goods to this point, has he? Is he doing good by the rich man now? Do you know what? He's just cheated the rich man another 50 measures of oil. For what purpose? Just to make himself look good to somebody else. So he's going to lose his job, but he said, look, I've got my job for just a little longer. I'm going to do something right now to prepare for what the time when I have nothing. Look again, verse number 6. It says, and he said, 100 measures of oil. And he said unto him, take thy bill, take the agreement, and sit down quickly and write 50. Then said he to another, and how much owest thou? And he said, 100 measures of wheat. And he said unto him, take thy bill and write 80. Again, now he gives a 20% discount. He's trying to make the men who owe the rich man happy. And the Lord commended the, note the word that's before steward. He commended the unjust steward. Unjust steward. Because he had done, what's the next word? Wisely. It doesn't say he did honorably. It doesn't say he pleased his master. It says he did wisely. Why does that matter? We'll look in a moment. For the children of the world are in their generation wiser than the children of light. Why is the unjust steward, why is the wasteful steward commended? Why is a man who wastes his master's goods, a man who cheats his master, he's called unjust? Why is he commended? The Bible says because he was wise. Why was he wise? He used his present position and resources to prepare for the future. Do you understand that God has put into your life certain things today? Those things that you have in your hands today are the resources of God that you are supposed to manage. Your heart is supposed to be managed and given as a resource to God. Your mind is supposed to be something that God has complete control over. Your time, your talent, everything is yours to use for God's glory. What happens when we use things for God's glory? He multiplies. And we get payment out of what he gets benefit from. All right, the text says that this man is wise. He used what he had in his present position to prepare for the future. He used what he was about to lose to get something in the future that he could keep. Have we talked about that before? We said it recently. Missionary to the Aka Indians. No, not Nate Saint, the one that went with him. Jim Elliot said, he is no fool who gives what he cannot keep. All of this. To gain what he can never lose. A wise man uses what he has to prepare for what is coming. All right, Jesus explains his own parable beginning in verse number 9. And I say unto you, make to yourselves friends of the mammon of unrighteousness. What's the mammon of unrighteousness? Money or earthly resources. That when ye fail, that is when your life stops, when you no longer have ability to manage God's things because you don't live here anymore, they may receive you into everlasting habitations. What's that? What's an everlasting habitation? Heaven. Listen, Jesus was talking and a man came up and said, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus looked at this man and he knew the man's heart. The man's heart was so bound with goods. He was so
stuff on money. And he said to the man, sell all your goods, give to the poor, and come follow me. If Jesus said you can buy your way into heaven, then why would he tell a man, take what you have, your resources, sell them, give to the poor and follow me, and then you would have life everlasting? Because he knew that that man standing there had his heart so attached to money that if he could actually give that money away, if he could get rid of that, it would show that his heart was going after Christ. So he says here, make yourselves friends of the earthly resources, what you got in your hand. Make yourself friends. Use that for eternal purposes. Use what you've got for something in the future. Use what you've got as a resource toward God. Look again, verse number 10. He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much, and he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. If we would faithfully use the temporal, look with me at chapter, verse number 11. If therefore ye have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? Look at chapter 18, verse number 29. Chapter 18, very close to that. Chapter 18, verse 29. And he said unto them, again, Jesus speaking, verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house or parents or brethren or wife or children for the kingdom of God's sake, who shall not receive manifold what? More, where? In heaven? In this present time and in the world to come, life everlasting. It's the principle of stewardship. You take care of what is God's, and God's will take care of what is in your hands. It's still His. And provide for the future. Verse number 11 of the text that we're looking at. If therefore ye have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, if you don't use the money you have the way God desires, why would God commit to you the true riches, something that is eternal? Verse 12 asks the question, if ye have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own? Verse 13, no servant can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. We either reveal a love for God by the use of our resources, or we reveal a love of self. We either reveal a love of God, or we reveal a love of money and things. Our love is shown by what we do with what we have. You ought to be able to look at my checkbook. You ought to be able to look at my credit card statement. You ought to be able to look at my receipts and say that I love that woman right over there more than any other woman. Don't you think? What would you think if the things that I bought, none of them fit that lady right there that is my wife? You know, you look at the receipts and the tag, you say, well, you know, she's a petite or she's a this or that, but, you know, you've been buying 12s and 14s or 16s. Are you a preacher? Preacher, there's some flowers, but they didn't ever get delivered to your house. What would you say about my love? You would say it wasn't that woman right there, wouldn't you? You can't have both. So what does God see? I've got to love my wife with the resources God gives me. I've got to love my children with the resources God gives me. But I've got to love the family of God with the resources God gives me. I've got to have compassion on the lost with the resources God gives me. Because sometimes we look and we make a little chart and we say, well, I did this one, and well, I didn't do that one. But I've got 3 out of 4. I've got some of what God wants. Isn't that enough? Look, we are wasting part or all of what God gives if we don't even know what He wants. Because we're using it on self instead of on the things that God has told us to use it on. Are you using what God has put into your hands for God? Isn't that a simple enough question?
What are true riches? That's what a lot of people think. What are the true riches? He says here, if you're not faithful with the unrighteous, this is the junk that the world is just, this is here, the unrighteous mammon, the money, who will commit to your trust the true riches? What are the true riches? Okay, souls, certainly. We're talking about, based on the text, we're talking about things that are temporal and things that are eternal. The soul is eternal. The Bible says, lay not up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust doth corrupt, but lay up for yourselves treasures where? Heaven. How do you lay them up in heaven? I've not been there yet. By what I do with what I've got here. True riches have eternal value. They may be God's wisdom. How many of you have ever needed wisdom? Have you ever prayed for it and not gotten it? Now, doesn't the Bible say, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not? Yet I have met a number of believers who have asked for wisdom and not gotten it. Why would that happen? Let's think for a moment about what the text here says. If I am unfaithful with the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to me the true riches? Preacher, are you saying that if I go to the store and I'm buying stuff for me just so that I can have people look at my body, or I can have people say how cool I am, or I can have people say how nice I look, that when I pray for wisdom, I may not get it? Yes. Do you know why? Let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. Where is my devotion? God, I need your wisdom to make right choices so that I can make myself look good. Wait a minute. Whoa, whoa, whoa. If I'm not using wisely what I have, wouldn't it be surprising to me that God would just pour out all of his eternal riches into my life and say, here you go, if I'm misusing what he's already given me. Doesn't he say in the New Testament, speaking to the religious leaders who had no interest in obeying him, cast not thy pearls? I'm not calling you swine, but I am saying this. If we misuse what he's already given, why would he give us what is true or eternal? How many of you have ever needed comfort? How many of you ever need God's grace or power? Those are eternal riches. Sometimes we think we can live and do whatever we want with the things that are here. And then when difficulty sweeps down upon my life, all I've got to do is say, God, I need you. Listen, God knows our hearts. And God isn't surprised. You know, children at Christmas time want to tell Mommy, Daddy, I've been good. And Mommy and Daddy may be kind of forgetful. Well, yeah, yesterday you helped me with the trash. But they forgot that they were the one that spread it all over the living room to start with. But God looks down and he knows exactly what he gave us, and he knows exactly what it was supposed to be used for. We're a little like in the story with Kalen. What was the purpose of the $20? Buy a certain fabric and to buy it back again. But we're a little like Kalen. We get that money and we get out in the world. We say, I know how to tithe and I know how to help the work of missions. I know how to love my neighbors. I have seen one of those on TV for weeks now. I got to have one of those. And then I get it and go, well, I would give more to such and such, but I can't. So what I'll do is I'll give God a little trinket thing that's left over. And then once I give God something, I feel better, and I look in my pocket and say, hey, I still got money to go to McDonald's. I gave to God, I got what I wanted, and I still get to go to McDonald's. This is great love serving God. And then we pray, and God doesn't answer, and we say, how come? Why not? Because if we're unfaithful with what he's already given, why would he commit to us the true riches? All that God could give me may be hindered by what I'm failing to do with what he's already given me. Do you know that? That if I'm not a good manager of what God gives, He's not going to give me any more to manage. That would be silly, wouldn't it? Hey, you've made this McDonald's go right into the ground. How about you manage six more for me? That sounds silly. So with God, the same would be true. You're not even taking care to witness to the neighbor you've got. Why would I give you any more? How come it is that that missionary, whenever they come, they talk about this person and that person and this person and that person, they just run into everywhere. They're on the airplanes, they're in the grocery stores. Why is it that these people, why do they get all the people to talk to and I don't? I might be ashamed to say. Maybe it's because the last person God sent my way I didn't talk to. Why would God keep committing people, souls, into my hands if when they come to me, I say, not me, Lord. I'm too busy. It's not time. I don't know enough verses. So I said, well, what did you do with all the time you had and all the Bible lessons that you had and all the Bible reading you had, the time you could have memorized? What did you do with all that time? And if we're not going to witness to that person, why would God keep sending people our way if we're not going to be faithful? See what I'm saying? There are eternal things that God wants for us to be a part of, but we can't be a part of them as His children unless we start showing some maturity in how we take care of the temporal things that are here. Many people are accused before God. Would it be true of you if the devil did today? For what eternal purpose is your TV, your internet, your shopping, your books, your clothes? Just make a list. Here's everything I possess. Here's everything I have access to. For what eternal purpose is any of this? Let me tell you, most everything you've got could be used for an eternal purpose. Most everything could be used for an eternal purpose. Or are the purposes for which everything we have being used for simply for my own personal pleasure?